أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم During my tour of Europe, I have found the fulfillment of the prophecy of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam to such a great extent, in such detail, covering every aspect of life of the Western nations, that I am only compelled to say a few words on this experience. The prophecy which I have just referred to is the prophecy about the coming of Dajjal. Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesied that a time would come in the latter days when a great havoc for the world would be born under the style of Dajjal, which is the word is translated as Antichrist in English. Whether it carries the full connotation of the word Dajjal or not, I don't know. But I am inclined to believe that it does not carry the full connotation of the word Dajjal, because it's a much deeper and richer word in meaning. So just Antichrist would not be able to carry all the messages which are a sort of packed, very closely packed in the word Dajjal. Now this is a very great prophecy and also a lengthy prophecy which covers so many aspects of the future world. If I begin to speak on all these aspects, it would take me a very, very long time. So I'm going to limit myself strictly to only one single word which Hazrat Rasul Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has used to depict the attributes of Dajjal. It says he will be our, that is, one-eyed. Now, in connection of his one eye, he further explains that his right eye would be blind. So totally blind that there won't even be a realization of his shadowy light in that eye. It will be totally blind. The other one, on the other hand, would be very deep-sighted and far-sighted and so clear and so prominent that that eye would be able to penetrate the depths of verse. It would be such penetrating eye. Now this is a very interesting depiction of the future, the Dajjal, or as we understand it to be, as a future Christian nations which are going to dominate the whole world. When I came to Europe, and even before that, I observed this, that Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not have chosen a better phrase than the word hour for the characteristics of the Western people. They are in fact highly intelligent and very deep-sighted and very clear-sighted as far as the worldly matters go. And you must bear in mind that while interpreting dreams, we are told that if you see left side of a person, that indicates the world or materialism. If you see the right side of a person, that indicates spiritualism. So by explaining that his right eye would be blind, what he meant was that people, however great they be, they apparently be, they would be blind to all that is good, because rightness stands for goodness in the interpretation of the Muslim way of interpretation of dreams. So all that stands for goodness, righteousness, spiritualism, religious or godly things would not be perceived by that Dajjal, which, as I have explained, has been manifested in the form of the Western civilization or Christian dominance of the world. So it should all, whenever I say Dajjal, it should be understood as such. I don't have to explain every time what I mean by word Dajjal, because as Masih Maud al-Islam has at length explained why he considers the Western Christian civilization and their religion to be the representative of this tradition, fulfillment of this tradition of the Holy Prophet. Now secondly, as I have told, mentioned earlier, as far as the worldly matters go, they are so much advanced. They have achieved such high standards of precise and correct vision that it is surprising for the rest of the world. They lead all movements which can be called materialistic movements in philosophy, in science, in sociology, in all other aspects of life which concern man, but which are not religious and which are not moral, which are not godly. The Western society leads the entire mankind. The same people who are completely blind to the values of their Creator, their submission to Him, their obligations to Him, are so well advanced in science that now they are virtually talking, literally talking, with the heavens above. As we call it, why I use this word talking, because in Urdu we say, Asman se baatein karna, which means one attains such heights as if by reaching those heights, he is able to really talk to the heavenly bodies. And this is what exactly they have done. When they first put their feet on the surface of moon, they addressed that moon and they addressed the heavenly bodies in such pride. But now we have reached this, and they have started searching for other places in space to achieve even greater heights. So this is one end as far as the worldly affairs go. They have invented highly sophisticated weapon system, so sophisticated and so deadly that once they decide to use such weapons against the mankind, there is every possibility that the species of mankind would be destroyed and wiped out from large areas of the world. All this because of their very exceptional eyesight regarding the material world and the laws of nature. Very penetrating eyes have been granted to them by Allah, and this is what was foretold. Now these traditions who depict the future power of Christianity are not things which Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam concocted from himself. It was his habit and custom, and a very strict custom for that matter, that he would not utter not a single word from himself. All that he said was from Allah, or was by way of interpretation of the Holy Quran, and this is exactly what has been mentioned elsewhere in the Holy Quran itself. مَا يَنْتَقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَيُّهَىٰ. Look at my Prophet Muhammad Mustafa. He doesn't utter a single word from himself. All that he says is based on the Holy Quran. So such is the Prophet addressing us and telling us that there is going to be a Dajjal or Antichrist, whatever you call him. Where is he mentioned in the Holy Quran? That is the question which comes to one's mind. If Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to say all that he says from his log and not nothing from himself, then there must be some reference of this in the Holy Quran. Now that surah in which the Dajjal has been mentioned has been pointed out by Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself when he warned his people, his followers, against the appearance of the Dajjal. He was asked by one of them, how could they be saved from the horror and the damage of such a havoc? So he said, the only way out is that you recite first 10 verses of Surah Kahf before retiring, and also the last 10 verses of Surah Kahf. Now what he meant was, obviously, that the Dajjal has been described here in detail. If you understand the meaning of first 10 verses and the final 10 verses of Surah Kahf, then you would recognize your enemy. And once you recognize your enemy and the direction of attack, then it is only possible for you to take defensive measures to guard yourself against the enemy. As long as you don't know where the enemy is and where he'll attack from, which direction is going to come upon you, you naturally not be able to defend yourself. So he's pointing out very positively what the enemy is and what he should be guarded against. The first verses of the Surah Al-Kahf refer to Christianity, and a warning is specifically given to Christianity that Allah warns you against concocting and attributing a false son to him while he has no son. لَيُنْذَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ إِنْ يَقُولُونَ كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ إِنْ يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا. This Holy Prophet of Allah has come to warn you and warn those in particular who are Christians, who have invented by themselves imaginatively a son to Allah, and they attribute that imaginary being to Allah and say he has a son. Neither they have any knowledge, nor their forefathers had any knowledge. They are just talking nonsense out of their heads, as they say in English. So So this is kalimatan takhruju minna, kabarat kalimatan takhruju minna vahim. But this nonsense would be taken very seriously by Allah, because it is an affront to Him. So they are going to be punished for that. These are the verses which make very clear the religion of the Dajjal, that whatever power that be, that power is going to be Christian. And Christian of that stage in future, which would become almost entirely idolaters. Now, after this, there is a diversion after a few verses, and the distorted shape of Christianity is left alone, and then Allah turns to the account of those early Christians who were God-fearing and who offered great sacrifices for the sake of Allah, went to the caves for the sake of saving their religion from their opponents. Those were the other people then mentioned, and it is made explicitly clear that whatever the future Christians would gain by way of the materialistic advancements would be in fact because of their early forefathers' good deeds. It is a reward not for their own sake, but for the sake of those early Christians who offered so much for the sake of Allah, that they are reaping this reward of great achievements in the world. Now that is a different subject altogether. But those were not the Dajjal. So Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam confined himself to the only first 10 verses, because the account which relates to the great early Christians, who part of whom are called Ashab-e-Kaf, people of the cave, are exempt from this warning. They are in fact narrated in the Holy Quran with great love and regard. So we leave them alone for the time being and go to the last 10 verses. Where, what do we find there? There Allah tells us, أَفَحَسِبَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنْ يَتَّخِذُوا عِبَادِي مِنْ دُونِي أَوْلِيَاءَ إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا جَهَنَّمَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ نُزُلًا. أَفَحَسِبَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, those who have denied the message of the Holy Prophet, who have refused to believe in him, do this thing. Are they working under the misconception that they will ultimately become successful? By doing what? By making Allah's creatures, by treating Allah's creatures as his partners. يَتَّخِذُونَ عِبَادِي مِنْ دُونِي أَوْلِيَاءَ, as against me, if they start making partners, calling partners besides Allah, from among Allah's creatures, if they think they would become successful, they are totally wrong in that. Further it says, these are the people who have turned all their attentions, all their energies, all their powers towards materialism. الَّذِينَ ظَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Now this is the verse to which I want to attract your attention in particular. This is a telltale verse. It tells us that these are the people whose faith is Christianity, whose religion is Christianity, but who would have made such advancement in material pursuits. أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنَّةً, that they would think that they have done they have achieved the very best in life. That means to say that not only their entire energies and capabilities would be directed towards materialistic pursuits, but also they would have gained so much by that pursuit that they would believe that they have done the very best in life. What best could there be other than this? Now, this is exactly the situation which we find today when we are traveling in Europe. They have excelled in the pursuit of materialism. They have gone to such stages as is unimaginable for poor people of Pakistan or India or other backward countries to achieve even after 100 years. They have gone so far ahead of us. And by the pursuit of materialism, they have come out with beautiful things as well, as the Holy Quran himself admits. Annahum yusinuna sunna means that their industry would be so wonderful that when they would look at their products, they say, look here, how beautifully we have made them. We can manufacture such beautiful things. So all over Europe you see the same thing. They have excelled in industry. And this is what the Holy Quran tells. At the same time, that Dajjal becomes manifestly clear to us. He is the same Dajjal which was talked about by Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That one eye is blind. As far as the religious values are concerned, they don't see the logic of the things. They say 3 is 1 and 1 is 3. God begets children, physical beings. It's impossible, how absurd it is. Yet, their logic immediately goes to sleep when they begin to see realized religion, and they don't see anything at all there, in fact. This is why they are called blind. And the moment their eyes turn towards the materialistic things, their vision becomes so bright and clear, so illuminated, that we look at them with wonder how they could perceive those things, while we also live the same universe, we also pass through the same natural phenomena, but we miss the point, while they have picked up the right points and made advancement because of a correct study of nature. So this dilemma is solved by us, by Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by us. And by solving this, it gives us hope too. Instead of giving us inferiority complex, we are strengthened in our faith. We realize that although they are a wise people, but 1400 years ago, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam had seen through them. He had warned them, us, that they would materialistically become extremely advanced. Yet you must not follow them in their ethical values, in their religious values, in all the values which are termed good in Islam, because there they would be a blind people. If you follow them there, you'll be destroyed yourself. Now, this is the message which I want to make clear now to you, that this should be our approach to the West. What a great prophet he was. Where he saw light, he admitted it in so many words. Where he saw goodness, he admitted it in so many words. Where he saw badness, he warned us against that bad and evil feature. And this is our approach too. I mean, we can't follow a different approach from the Master. Now here we are making mistakes. I'm talking about that society which has migrated from the East to the West by not understanding the message of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are following an entirely different course from what he advised. He advised us that you can trust their vision as far as material world goes. You can copy their pursuits, because there is no harm in studying the nature of Allah. It was the creation of Allah, not their own creation. Their vision is correct. This verdict has been given by Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By that, the Holy Prophet meant that inasmuch as their sciences are concerned, their study of nature is concerned, you should not only follow them, you should try to excel them. No harm in that. Because they are not the creator, it's the creation of Allah which they have rightly understood. But in all the other values, you must complete completely abandon them and not follow their path. What I see here is quite a different pattern altogether. In fact, it's the converse of this. Most of the Asians who come over to these countries, they don't follow them in their goodnesses, but they follow them in their wrongs. They lose their way of life, they lose their moral values, they lose their religion, they lose all that is good in them, and start following the Western pattern of a rotten society. While they were forewarned by Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wa sallam 14 centuries ago, how clear was his vision, how beautiful the message. Here they are wrong. Don't just condemn them roundly and revolt against all that is Western. This is what is said in this message. Choose the right thing from the wrong. And I give you the criterion, unfailing criterion, which would never lead you to a wrong decision. That on the right things, they're always wrong. On the left things, they're always right. Follow them materialistically. Learn from them and try to excel them, no harm. But whenever there are the moral values, religious values, ethical values are concerned, it would be poison for you if you follow them. You'd be eating poison. Now this is exactly what the people are doing from the East. This is why MDs are expected not only to warn the West but also the Eastern people who come over here and indulge in these blunders. And this is what the MDs are not doing, in fact. This is why I have opened up this whole, I have prepared the ground for you to see where you are missing the values which are expected of you. Most unfortunate. In fact, you came here to the West not only in your personal capacities, but in the capacity, much more so, in the capacity of ambassadors of Islam and the representatives of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. If you don't understand his religion, if you don't follow his path, and you don't exhibit the way of life through your own personal example, how can you be dubbed, how can you be named the ambassadors of Islam and the representatives of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You're so dormant to these things, in fact, in some respects, that it deeply hurts me to notice that in many respects we are losing ground to the West rather than gaining ground. As far as our rate of preaching is concerned, that is almost zero in Scotland. I made inquiry, thorough inquiry here, about how many Ahmadis today are present here who belong to this file, so that for their sake I should address myself in English, address you in English. And I was told just one lady. And that is 50% of all we will achieve here. Because there is one gentleman left out, who is missing unfortunately. So 50% of our local Ahmadis are here, and that is wrong. This is shame. This is a point for us to ponder and reflect. What have we been doing here? All of you, youth and old and young and old and ladies and gentlemen who came from Pakistan or some other countries to seek employment here or to do business, that was not the fundamental thing in you. The most overriding thing in an Ahmadi should be the message of Islam. Don't leave it to the missionaries. They simply cannot do it alone. It is you who are going to take up the cudgel, otherwise Islam will remain in this defeated state as we find it today. Read the early history of Islam and you will come to know that in fact it was not a clergy, because there was no such thing as clergy in Islam, which brought about the great revolution over the world. Who converted China? Go into the history of Islam and then you will find out not a single missionary was sent to China. I mean those four provinces of China which are predominantly Muslim. The four big provinces who have become almost entirely Muslim, and not a single preacher was sent to them by any Muslim ruler. Just tradesmen, those who sought employment, as you have sought employment today, they went to China. Who converted Indonesia? Ponder over this question. Neither a soul nor such missionaries as you find today. There was no such system in fact. Just ordinary tradesmen went there and started preaching, and they were responsible people. Good. Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who didn't leave anything unexplained, explained at length what he meant by the jar, he explained at length where he is mentioned in the Holy Quran, he explained the philosophy of the institution of the jar, he explained where he should be followed and where he should be avoided, and where he should be opposed and where he should be aided. Everything has been made manifest by Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But unfortunately we are not paying attention to his words. And this is what I am repeatedly trying to draw your attention to. Allah bless you. May Allah help you. But I assure you, it is for the sake of Allah. You make this decision today that from now on you are going to lead a life of a missionary. If you make this decision today that for Allah's sake you will devote all your energies towards converting this country into Islam, then you will see the great changes appear. All around you, people will begin to get converted. But that can only be done if you also remain humble, if you also continuously pray to Allah, seek His help, accept your being nothing. Admit that you have no power on earth whatsoever. And then turn to your Lord repeatedly with tears and with aching hearts. Oh Allah, I have taken the responsibility of converting these people. I who am a nonentity, who are nothing, who have neither knowledge, nor wealth, nor strength enough. How can I do it? But oh Lord, I have done it for your sake. I believe in your mercy. I believe in your succor and aid. You come to my aid because I have whatever I am. However humble I be, I have come to your aid. So all that I expect of you is to come to my aid for this noble goal which I am pursuing for my love for you, for my love for Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if I am offering myself to your task, why shouldn't you come to help me? If you pray to Allah with such pain and such aching hearts, it's impossible for Him not to accept it. Then you'll see the changes occurring all around you. Then you'll see the fate of this country changing gradually, and light adding to the darkness, light appearing in the darkness and dispelling darkness all around you. May Allah bless you. May Allah help you. First make this sincere resolution, then to act upon it. Then may Allah help you to follow this noble goal perseveringly, not with temporary emotions. We don't want Ahmadis with temporary emotions. This is a long task. We may have to devote a generation after generation our energies towards achievements of this goal. So we don't want people who are tired. Allah in the Holy Quran tells us that there are angels who never tire in praising Allah. So are the followers of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They tirelessly follow the goal which has been set to them by the holy founder of Islam. This is your station in life. This is your status in the eyes of Allah. So rise to it. Why do you sing to the ordinary low level of ordinary Asians who come here, lose their values, acquire complexes and get lost themselves? You are different. Why don't you realize it? This is what hurts me most. Not only the fate of the people around, but when I see Emily is behaving like ordinary people, while they are not ordinary people. Then it hurts me most. Then I turn to Allah. Oh Allah, what is the use of my coming here if I can't turn enemies back to your message? If I can't make them realize where they belong to? What is the use in my going through the streets of London and Glasgow and Frankfurt and Hamburg? Because then I will be just an ordinary person doing the same thing as so hundreds and millions of visitors do. I've not come here for that purpose. And I have no power over the hearts of Ahmadis. It's you alone who have that power. You help me. So as I am humble in my approach and I only seek Allah's help, you should also be humble in your approach and seek Allah's help for your sake, for the sake of your generations, for the sake of mankind suffering around you. Then you will see the great signs appearing, great changes appearing, inshallah ta'ala. And a new Jamaat will be born here in these countries. Out of your bodies, new souls will emerge. And that is the message of Ahmadiyya, which I deliver to you, and trust to Allah that it will get great, inshallah ta'ala.
This is the same bath which is referred to in the Holy Quran as Hablullah,
strongest possible power which you have. Now, this through that you come to in contact with Harmonia. So that is a spiritual contact. Then why do we ask you to establish also a bodily contact? Not because of superstition, but because Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has taught us this. This was his habit. He used to do it like this. So we are his followers. It's only, I think, a way of symbol establishing the necessity of your contact by telling you to establish physical contact. What the Holy Prophet meant was that you should try to be near the Khalifa or near whom you are pledging your path to, not only physically, but also spiritually, much more so. Perhaps that is a symbol, but whatever it is, we do how we found, exactly as we found Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his followers do, so it's no superstition. So after the bath, we say prayer, and then, inshallah, I'll take leave of you. Ibadallah, rahimakumullah, inna Allah ya'muru bil adl wal ihsan, wa ita'i dhil qurba, wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar wal baghi, ya'idhukum لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولا